love you more.
Well, the time has come for me to say goodbye to you. After 47 years on the radio, spanning five decades, including 41 years here in Baton Rouge, I'm hanging up my headphones for good. Making the decision to retire was not an easy one. I made it about 3 years ago after my financial advisor assured me that I had enough money in my 401k to live without my bi-monthly paycheck from Guarantee Media. And my plan back then was to continue working until I hit age 66, at which point I would be eligible to receive my full Social Security benefits. Well, I reached that milestone, my 66th birthday, 4 days ago. Now then, if you'll indulge me, a little history. My tenure here in Baton Rouge began right around Thanksgiving 1976. Drakeette and I had only been married for about a year and a half when I lost my job at a radio station in Evansville, Indiana, and was hired here in Baton Rouge by Gene Nelson, the program director and part owner of WLCS. That was the hot top 40 station, competing with crosstown rival WIBR. You see, back then, FM radio was not commonplace, and WFMF at that time was known as Loose Radio, playing, well, what we used to call underground or progressive or album-oriented music. Well, as FM gained popularity through the late 70s and the early 80s, and WFMF became a top 40 station on FM, it was clear that WLCS would eventually fail as a music station. And in 1984, I was moved over to our FM station, WQXY, which was changing its format from elevator music, you remember, to light rock. In 1986, I was hired by Guarantee Broadcasting here. Yeah, hot rockin', flame-throwing WGGZ, better known as Z98, right. When the format was flipped from Z98 to Oldies 98, I was there. And when Oldies 98 became WDGL, Eagle 98.1, I was still there. You know, here at the office, I have a saying. They all come back. And it's really true. People come to work here at Guarantee Media. They leave for another job, some for another state. And almost invariably, they eventually come back. Some of them multiple times. Me, I just cut out the middleman and never left. Well, over my 41 years in radio here in Baton Rouge, I've seen them come and I've seen them go. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Sadly, some of them have passed on. Guys like Stan the Man Hall, Jack Flash, Gordon West, Duffy Spears, Freewheelin' Frank Klein Peter, Gene Nelson, Kevin Meeks, and most recently, just 3 weeks ago, Mr. George Foster Jr. I have nothing but good things to say about these guys. Some of the people I've worked with, as I'm sure is the case in any business, were real jerks. I worked with only three, really, that were just awful, terrible people. And they will remain nameless. George Herbert, the 17th century English poet, said the best revenge is to live well, which I have done. And I've outlasted them all. But like I said, I've seen them come and I've seen them go. Some of them were my immediate supervisor, the guy who's called the program director, and I worked with some damn good ones. Gene Nelson at WLCS was brilliant for his time. Bob Elliott, who took Gene's place at WLCS. Bob was so good, he went to work as a national radio consultant for the firm Burkhart Abrams. Married the boss's daughter, if I recall correctly. J.J. Stone was a good PD back in the Z98 and Oldies 98 days. And Dave Dunaway, here in our Eagle 98.1 incarnation, was absolutely first rate. I want to say a few words about the people who call me on the phone or come up to me to chat at concerts and remote broadcasts and other public appearances. You people have treated me like an old friend. And in a way, I guess I am. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said something like, I've been listening to you since I was 9 or 10. They usually apologize, thinking that, you know, they might have offended me. But knowing they've been with me for so long really makes me feel good. And I'd say about 90% of you who call me on the phone for requests call me by name. Again, like we're old friends, and I appreciate that. It always amazes me when somebody hears me, like, talking, standing in a grocery line or something, and they come over and say, are you Scotty Drake? I mean, I never really thought I had much of a distinctive voice, to tell you the truth. Here's a good example, and I swear I'm not making this up. Years ago, I was answering the telephone for a fundraising telethon that WAFB-TV was doing. And we, the people who were answering the phones, we were not on camera. Couldn't see who we were. So my phone rang, and I said something like, you know, hello, this is the telethon. Would you like to make a pledge? And there was a slight pause, and the lady on the other end asked, is this Scotty Drake? I was absolutely blown away. Mostly, I'm glad that you have been thinking of me as being approachable. It's been my goal on the air to simply talk to you, not announce at you. If you listened carefully, you'd notice that I have been talking to you, not a bunch of you. In other words, to put it simply, when I'm on the air, I will say something like, hi, rather than, hi, everybody. I've been talking to you and you alone. I want to say a few words about some of the things that I'm especially proud of. In 2004, here at Eagle 98.1, I was assigned the job of being the producer and host of an hour-long public affairs show. It's called Community Concerns, and it's heard on all five of the radio stations here at Guarantee Media. Many of these shows are health-related, and I'll have guests from the local chapters of the American Heart Association, or the Cancer Society, or the Kidney Foundation, or the Eye Bank, and we talk about their walk-a-thon, or their golf tournament, or their silent auction, or whatever fundraiser that they're doing. But I'll also bring on the show and talk with patients who suffer with these diseases and the doctors who take care of them. And this little radio show, which is buried at like 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning on Sundays, has won me no fewer than 6 awards of excellence in medical journalism from the Louisiana State Medical Society. You didn't know that Drake was a medical journalist, did you? And in 2014, my public affairs show earned me the award for continuing year-long public service campaign from the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters. Other things I'm proud of. In 2013, I performed an extended 20-minute in-studio interview with legendary singer and frontman for the Animals, Eric Burdon. And in 2016, I conducted part of the Baton Rouge Symphony Orchestra's presentation of the music of Led Zeppelin. But the thing I'm proudest of came just a few months ago when the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters honored me with their prestigious Lifetime Achievement Award. But I think I'm getting out of radio just in the nick of time. The business has changed dramatically over the last 40-plus years. Most of the changes have been good ones, like going from playing records to playing tape cartridges, and then from playing tape cartridges to playing CDs, and then from playing CDs to playing songs right off the computer. It's great, man. I can let the computer run from song to song to song, and I don't have to pull out Inagata De Vita to go to the bathroom. By now, most of you are hip to that trick anyway, aren't you? You know, the way that we have commercials delivered to us has changed for the better, too. 40 years ago, if McDonald's or State Farm Insurance or Home Depot had a commercial for us to play, they had to mail us a reel-to-reel tape a week in advance. Nowadays, Commercials are delivered digitally in a variety of ways, and we get them in a matter of seconds. The digital technology also allows us to serve our sponsors better, too, as we're able to make their commercials or change them in a matter of minutes rather than days. But the change I cannot abide involves the social media revolution, which has permeated the radio business to the extent that I don't want to be part of radio anymore. More and more, they're putting cameras in radio studios, and our radio shows are blasted out on Facebook Live. I say no, that is not what radio is about. I'm sorry, but as far as I'm concerned, you don't get to see what I'm doing in my second floor studio here on Government Street. That's what your imagination is for. If I wanted to be on TV, then I'd be on TV. No, you do not have the privilege of watching me blow my nose or do my daily crossword puzzle or fight a splitting headache. No. As far as I'm concerned, and this is just me, what you're entitled to is what comes out of your radio, and that's all. That's what I've lived for since 1970 when I first put on a pair of headphones as a student DJ at Penn State University. Unfortunately, all the radio consultants and programming gurus are 100% right about putting video cameras in the radio studios, and my position is 100% wrong. I admit it. I guess that makes me a dinosaur. Behind the times. Obsolete, outdated, outmoded, old-fashioned, passé, defunct. So be it. I'm leaving on my terms. And I would like to thank the management of Guarantee Media for allowing me the opportunity to do that. Now, I did allow it for several hours today. And I allowed it because I wanted you here. And I'm glad you were. Now, you may be one of the people who's wondered, or even asked me outright, who my replacement is going to be. I pretty much knew that the management here at Guarantee Media was not about to bring in somebody from outside the Guarantee family. So I'm happy to tell you that they picked the person who I myself would have picked. And that's Michelle Southern. Michelle is a consummate professional. She sounds great on the air. And she loves what she does. And those three factors make her an excellent choice to succeed me in the afternoon drive slot here on Eagle 98.1. A few words about the woman who has been behind me. And today, quite literally behind me. Since before there even was a Scotty Drake. When I first started out as a DJ at Penn State, Kathy Murphy and I were seeing each other regularly. And when I would go up to the fourth floor of Sparks Building at Penn State to the studios of WDFM, she would come with me. And she'd sit behind me and do her homework while I did my radio show. And so, she sits behind me today as I do my last one. The Drakehead has been my source of strength and my source of unconditional love for nearly 50 years. And I doubt very seriously if I'd be where I am today if it weren't for her. We have seen each other through some terrible times, but we've also been able to bask in the glow of some wonderful times too. Which brings me to our son, Jesse, who has been the light of our lives for nearly 40 years now. He and his wife, Heather, have carved out a successful life for themselves in Denver, Colorado, and we miss them very, very much. But hopefully, now that I'll have more time to travel, we'll be able to see them more than once or twice a year. Anyway, now it's just about time for me to play the last song I'll ever play on the radio. A few months ago, if you'll remember, I went on Facebook and asked for your suggestions for my final song. And some of them I played, as you know, in the last hour or two. But I have to be honest with you. When I started thinking about retiring 3 years ago, I knew exactly what song I wanted to go out with. The song is nothing deep. It has nothing to do with leaving or being free or saying goodbye. It has no significance to anybody but me. And some of you like-minded people hit the nail right on the head by suggesting that I end my career as a DJ with the same song I played to begin it. That's what I decided 3 years ago, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. The year was 1970. The radio station was WHR, a little 250-watt converted janitor's closet in Waring Hall at Penn State University. So before I play it, I just want to tell you one more time that the only thing better than hearing these great songs has been being the guy who's gotten to play them for you. Thank you for listening all these years, and thank you for allowing me to be that guy.